praise the Lord on this beautiful Lord's Day, May the 15th, Sunday morning. We're proud to be in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, ain't nothing better. The psalmist, I think it's in Psalms chapter 122 or Psalms chapter 123, said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." It makes some glad, makes some sad, makes some even mad, but it makes me glad. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful to be saved, so thankful to have an opportunity to give the one that loved me and gave himself for me praise and song and testimony. I think congregational singing, and I pray a lot about congregational singing, is our opportunity to say thank you. You know, kind of like the flowers.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
That's right.
Having mercy on me. Oh, I love congregational singing. I can't sing a lick, but I can kind of make a joyful noise. But I think congregational singing is important to give praise and glory to one that's worthy to receive it. When I think about how little praise is given to the Lord, and I think about all the opportunities we have to give praise to Him, I love congregational singing. Well, we'll be teaching this morning out of the book of Genesis. You want to get a good old King James Bible out, cup of coffee? We'll be attempting to break this down into simple terms and do our best to do it in a way that it can be understood and that it be credible. And we're going to go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, that not only you put into the hand of men, but Lord, we have it even today. What great things, Lord, your word declares. You said we ought to give the most earnest heed to it, lest at any time we let it slip. I pray you'll help us, Lord, today to be able to give that earnest heed. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit of God. We pray, Lord, for the light of your word, Lord, to show us today exceeding great, precious promises. Lord, things, Father, hard to be understood. But, Lord, you can give us understanding. Lord, we thank you, Father, for that good revival. We thank you, Father, for that good Mother's Day service. Lord, we're looking forward to you doing it again here today. We just want to thank you in everything. Ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We're Genesis chapter 1. This very first verse may be all we get today. I mean, this verse is loaded right here.
Yep.
It says, in the beginning. And I'm going to take my time, be a little bit expository today. I meet people all the time. And they want to go back further than the beginning.
Yeah.
You can't go back no further than this. I don't want to hear no 600 million years. I don't want to hear 2 billion years. I want you to let the Word of God be true.
Yeah.
And every one of those crazies be liars. I'm just telling you, in the beginning, this is where there was nothing. There was nothing. And when I say there was nothing, let's look real quick to Psalms chapter 33. When I say there was nothing. Psalms chapter 33. Starting in verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Now that's pretty simple. And all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth, he gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Now listen to this next verse. Verse 8 just sets the stage for verse 9. For he spake, and it was done.
Amen.
He commanded, and it stood fast.
Yeah.
You see, verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. And you got a couple verses here, talks about water, gathering together, and depth, and storehouses. He spake, and it was done.
Yeah.
He commanded, and it stood fast. And we're talking about the beginning, how things came to be. Says God created the heaven and the earth. Now that's singular in that terminology, God created the heaven and the earth. But we look at St. John chapter number 1, verse 1, and it's almost parallel. It says, in the beginning was the Word. If you'll notice, Word is capitalized.
Yeah.
And the Word was with God. Now we're talking singular here in Genesis 1:1, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So you got two mentioned now. But look at verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now we're going to find out here real quick who Him is.
Mm-hmm.
It says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. I'm in St. John chapter 1 verse 4.
Yeah.
And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now I'm going to skip John the Baptist here. I'm going to go on down here to verse number 9. That was the true life which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You didn't get here without the help of God.
That's right.
He was in the world. Mm-hmm. Now you just stop and think about this. The Creator came down.
Yeah.
He was in the world. The one that made everything. All things were made by Him. Verse 3. He was in the world. And the world was made by Him. You got an idea now who we're talking about?
Yeah.
And the world knew Him not, and today they know
right.
Him not.
That's exactly right.
They know of Him.
Yeah.
But very few know Him. You know, I know President Trump. He texts me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt he can speak English once done to text him, but I'm saying this for this, just for this thought. I don't know President Trump personally.
No.
I know of him. I've seen his picture.
Yeah.
But when you know someone personally, you have fellowship with Him, and we have fellowship with our Lord and Savior. If you're saved, the Bible says the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Jesus said in John chapter 10, He's not only the good shepherd, but He calls His sheep by name. They hear His voice. Another they'll not follow. I know this one here personally.
Yes.
As of April 27th, 1988, we got on a first name basis.
That's right.
Verse 11, He came to His own, and His own received Him not. I'm still in St. John chapter 1. But as many as received Him, I did.
Right.
Amen.
To them gave He power to become the sons of God.
Yes.
Even to them that believe on His name. I got in thanks to Him. You see, He's the door.
Right.
He's the way.
Right.
The only way too, by the way. But that's the only access we have to God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. And we're talking about Jesus when we're talking about Him here. Verse 13 tells you how that happened. Now you kind of got to take your time here, which were born, just leave all the rest of this out, of God.
Yeah.
Now we'll put the rest of this in here. I got born of God.
That's right.
I'm in the family of God. I got accepted in the beloved. But I had also a natural birth, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. My mom, my dad decided they'd have a tow-headed boy 68 years ago. Then they named him Eddie Wade, and he's still here today. They've done graduate. I'll catch up with them.
Yeah,
right. We all get to heaven on the same day.
Yeah.
But down here, we have to let go. Down here, we have to say goodbye. I've got two daughters, mom and dad, a whole bunch of more in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I'll join them soon.
Yeah.
When I say that, in body only.
That's right.
My spirit, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12, will return to God that gave it.
Yeah.
When I was born in the flesh, God caused me to become a living soul. But then I got, praise God, I got eternal life by being born of God. Now, praise God, I've got eternal life through Him.
That's right.
Verse 14 tells us real clear who Him was. Mm-hmm. And the Word was made flesh. Notice that capital W.
Yeah.
And dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I just wanted you to know who Him was.
Yeah.
Now Colossians tells us again what we kind of just read right there. But these are in here so we can, you know, seek. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, in Bereans, said there's more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily where those things were so. I don't think there's too much of that going on today, but it said they searched the scriptures daily where those things were so. Stay in this word, you'll get all that you need and all you can possibly have. From this word, you can get sidetracked, and you can get get off track by listening to someone other than God.
Yeah.
When I said there was only one mention there in verse number 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, talking about Jesus, it talks about whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Verse 14, verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. You know, Philip come to Jesus in John 14 and said, show us the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how Jesus kept them laughing, but he said, if I've been so long with you, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen Him.
Yeah.
And Philip said in John 14, verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with thee, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father?
Amen.
Jesus is the physical image of the invisible God. Let that sink in.
Wow.
Just a minute.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You will never see God except in Jesus. I may go a little further than that real quick.
Mm-hmm.
John chapter 4. Jesus gave us a little insight here. I always tell everybody read the book of John. I don't think they do, but if they did, they'd find out some of this stuff. But Jesus is speaking to a Samaritan woman.
Yeah.
And he says, verse 24, John chapter 4, he said, God is a spirit.
Yeah.
And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
But the manifestation of God, the invisible God that's a spirit, is in Jesus Christ. And He's the firstborn of every creature.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 16 says, we're talking about Him again, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things. How many? All things were created by Him and for Him. You know how I know Jesus Christ is alive today? Verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. If He dies, we all die. He's the source of life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I want to say this also about creation. You know, we got this theory, we evolved, we had a big bang. And you know, we're still evolving, we're still waiting on another big bang. But they talk about, you know, dinosaurs was millions and millions of years ago. Well, you can go online if you want to take the time. And in caves, they found drawings of men hunting dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
There are footprints in a riverbed in Texas, Pulaski River in Glen Rose, Texas, there's footprints of dinosaurs, and right along those footprints of those dinosaurs, there's also human footprints. Just recently, Alvis Delk, he found a footprint of a man that had been stepped on by a dinosaur, and it smudged out the man's footprint a little bit, and that rock is on display at the Creation Evidence Museum in Glen Rose, Texas. So I'm just telling you this for sake of thought. You're going to hear everything.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
There's people going to try to cause you to believe something that may not necessarily be true, and this is the day of deception, if there ever was one. We're going to try to stay on course as we read through the book of Genesis. Verse 2 talked about the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, my pastor, and he's not alone, even this strong Scofield Study Bible, it mentions that this is kind of like the second. Let me read what Scofield says here. He says, the three creative acts of God are recorded in this chapter. The heavens and the earth, then animal life. That ain't what I'm looking for. Yeah, I guess it is. Animal life, human life. The first creative act refers to the dateless past and gives scope for all geological ages. He makes a reference to Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23, which I did read. I did research this a little bit. And, you know, I can see where you could derive what he's saying. But I'll be honest with you, fellas. I don't agree with it. And that's okay. I guess it's okay to disagree. But this, what's written here in Jeremiah, sounds to me more like the judgment of God at the end of time. But we'll read it here. Jeremiah chapter 4. Verse 23 through 26. And you listen real good here. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. That's where he derives this from.
Yeah.
And the heavens, they had no light. I beheld the mountains, lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. That's what caught my eye right there. The birds of the heavens were fled. So that means they were there. There's no man, but the birds were fled. I beheld, lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. So there was some fruit. Now it's a wilderness. All the cities, well, where'd the cities come from?
Mm-hmm.
They were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by His fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. Now to me, and this is just Brother Eddie, I cannot say that this has anything at all to do with original creation. To me, this sounds like the judgment that God said He's going to bring upon the earth in the last day.
Yeah.
Now we're going to go a little further because they mentioned two places here. Isaiah 24. Verses 1 through, I think verse 1 through 24, I think. Oh, I just turned 24 and passed it right up. Okay, Isaiah chapter 24, I think it's verse 1 and verse 45. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad inhabitants. Where did heavens come from?
Yeah.
I thought in the beginning God made the heaven and the earth.
Yeah.
Where did the inhabitants go? You see, I'm just trying to be sensible here. And verse 24. Well, there ain't no verse 24.
Mm-mm.
Maybe he's talking about something else there. Isaiah 24:1. Maybe it's 45. Okay, he's talking about Isaiah 45, verse 18. Let's look at that. I want to be sensible here, practical.
Yeah.
Let God be true. Let the Word of God say what it says. I don't want to add to it. Don't want to take away from it.
No.
45, 18. Well, thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else. None of that speaks to me about two creations. Now, you don't have to agree with me. I'm just going to go. You know, I feel like I've got as much of the Holy Ghost as anybody else does. But I don't feel anything other than we're reading about one creation. And in this one creation, God created the heaven. God created the earth. He's talking about the earth. And the earth was without form and void. It's just a big mud ball. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the deep's talking about water. And if you know enough Bible, you know that's what that's talking about. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, which kind of brings that out the latter part of the verse. Now, God has created the heaven. God has created the earth. The earth is void. It's not really inhabitable. It's just in an early form of creation. And then God says, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 3. Thank God.
Amen.
I'm thank God for the day light entered me. Amen.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, I was like this earth. I was void. And I was without form. And darkness was upon me. But thank God there was a day that light came in to Eddie Wade. Amen. And verse 4 says, and God saw the light that it was good. Now it says, and God said, let there be light. You get what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
And there was light.
Mm-hmm.
He spake and it was done. He commanded. God saw the light that He spoke into existence. He saw that it was good. Hey, I like light myself.
Yeah. Me too.
I'm telling you. There's some people, the Bible said they love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are evil, they sneak around, they get a little bold now, they come out broad daylight now and shoot people. But most of the time, it used to be under the cover of darkness. And you know why these people are shooting people in daylight now? Does anybody got a clue? No fear of God.
No, that's true.
You see, when you got fear of God, you try to be careful. You try not to get caught. You sneak around and you take a drink. You sneak around, you do your drugs. You sneak around, you molest little kids or rape women or whatever. But you don't do it in broad daylight. But the reason it's going on today is because we're in the last days and there's no fear of God. What happened? Somebody dropped the torch.
Mm-hmm.
The generation before me, I'm 68 years old. They feared God.
Yeah.
And in my lifetime, a nation that walked with God, that reverenced God's Word. I mean, when I was in school, Sharon, the principal read the Bible over the intercom and he prayed over us over the intercom every school day morning.
Yes, he did. Thank you, Jesus.
We cited the Ten Commandments, then the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we've done our classroom studies, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic. We didn't have no gender confusion. We didn't have no, what's it, CRT, critical race theory. There wasn't no history 16, 19, or whatever that is. We just taught this plain old reading, writing, arithmetic, stuff you need. I still know my mathematical tables, amen. But here, God, He has created a light, and God saw that the light, that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. You know that division right there. There's people today that are in darkness right now, Brother Ed.
That's true. Yeah.
That's right.
They need to come to the light.
Yes, amen.
You know, we all got up this morning. We didn't really take no thought about the Lord coming, but He could come today.
Amen.
Let me put this in context. If the Lord does come today, and He could, those that's in the light are leaving.
Amen.
The light will be gone, and darkness will take its place. You can go in the darkest cave that there is, and one match will light it.
Yeah.
I've been in caves, hunting arrowheads and acting like idiots and everything else.
When I talked to him this morning before I got out of bed, I asked him to come quickly.
Hey, man, I'd like to leave out too, Brother Ed.
Yeah, boy.
We're here for a reason.
Yeah.
When I first got saved 34 years ago, I expected when I opened my eyes to be in heaven, and I was a little bit disappointed and concerned about why I wasn't in heaven.
Right.
And like a little child, I thought, well, there must be something the Lord wants me to do, and there is.
Yeah.
There's something the Lord wants us all to do.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be an example of the believer in word and in deed. We're His ambassadors.
Yeah.
You heard Brother Charles preaching about last Sunday, the first night of revival.
Yeah.
We're His witnesses.
Yes.
And God help us to be good witnesses.
Yeah.
The Bible says a true witness delivers souls. And if a true witness delivers souls, you can only imagine what a false witness or a poor witness. You know, they call us hypocrites. As long as it ain't true, I don't mind it. But if it's ever true, that's our fault. Amen.
Yeah.
But,
Eddie,
yeah.
Years ago, William and I went on a tour of Mammoth Cave, and this one certain spot, they turned the light on.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
You can't see a hand for any face.
No, I didn't even know William was there.
Like
and it, it was like a smoke.
There's nothing you can see.
Yeah, they tell you to put your hand up.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like in this world when God removes His restraining spirit? I mean, when the spirit's gone, I mean, we think it's bad now, but it's, I can't even imagine.
Well,
I mean,
there may be a lot of lost people listening today by way of the live stream, or maybe even by the recording that we'll be putting on the internet, on sermon audio. Let me just say this to you lost people out there. I used to be a lost person, and I was always afraid of dying. Yeah. And I always wondered when I'd die, how I'd die. I don't fear death no more because I have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
But let me say this about dying. If God comes and you're left behind, you are without any hope whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells here in 1 Thessalonians that you'll be given over to a strong delusion that you'll believe a lie.
Yeah.
2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and talks about for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. That old Antichrist, he can't wait till we get out of the way.
That's right, boy.
Only reason he can't take over is because we're light and he's darkness.
Amen, that's it.
Yeah.
You're right.
And he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed. Right now, he can't be revealed because light dispels darkness.
Amen.
But when the light's gone, he will be revealed. Whom the Lord shall, I'm in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit in his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. You see, the devil is lying to you.
Yeah.
Jesus said in John chapter 8 verse 44 that the devil was a liar and the father of it.
Amen.
There's no truth in him. And you know, the Lord who cannot lie tells you he loves you, tells you that if you'll come to him, he'll forgive you of your sin, he'll save your soul just for the asking, and he'll help you through the struggles of life.
Right.
But these that are deceived through this unrighteousness and them that perish, it tells you because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see, God loves you.
Right.
And He will save you. His Word tells you that. Verse 11, if you miss when God takes His children home, verse 11 says, for this cause, since you did turn down the love of the truth, since you didn't get saved, verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Let me give you a good example of this. There's a man, Genesis chapter number 6, God tells him, build an ark.
Yeah.
The Bible says that man moved with fear to the building of that ark, to the saving of his house. Noah built an ark 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. How big was it? Well, go up there and look. There's two of them up there in Kentucky right now.
Yeah.
You can go visit and see how big this thing was.
Yeah.
But I want you to know that ark had plenty of room for anyone that wanted to get in it. It took him 120 years to build this ark. And the long-suffering of God waited as Noah's building this ark. Anybody that wanted to could have got in.
That's right.
Now this is, I'm just speculating here, but there may have been a lot of people come in there inside that ark. Hey Noah, what you building?
Yeah.
I'm building a boat. What are you building a boat for? God told me to. Mm. Well, there's no water. It had never rained, the Bible says. It just missed. We'll get to that here in a minute.
Yeah, that's right.
But Noah is doing what God told him to do. He's building a boat.
Yes.
When he got that boat built, God told him to go in it. You know what Noah did? He went in it.
Yeah.
And the Bible said God shut the door.
Yes.
How many people you think got in that boat after God shut the door?
Nobody.
Only reason I'm telling you that, right now the door is open. Right now you can get in. Right now you can get a refuge for your soul. You should get saved. You should get your family saved. I don't know how much time we have, but I will tell you this. God is coming.
That's right.
I know you've been hearing it for years. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that in the last days there'll be mockers saying, where's the promise of His coming? Yeah. Hey, look, He's coming.
Yeah.
Why ain't He already come? He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any perish. God is waiting on you.
Yes, He is. Thank you, Jesus.
But He's not going to wait forever. He divided the light from the darkness. I'm going where the light is. Carolina, I'm not a child of darkness no more. I dwell in the light. I'm going to a city of light, Donnie.
Amen.
There'll be no darkness there.
You were singing about that city long ago.
Yeah. Verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. This very first day, God formed the earth and the heavens, and He divided light from darkness this very first day.
Yes, He did.
God did every bit of that. Man had nothing to do with it. Somebody said a big bang. Well, what banged? I mean, God took nothing and made everything.
That's right.
Man can make things today. I'm not going to deny that. But let a man make something today with nothing. Don't give him anything to work with. Let him see him speak something into existence.
That's right.
Let's see him cause something to happen. Man has to use what God has given him to make anything that man makes. And they've made many inventions. Some of them ain't good. Let me see if I ain't got scripture here. Back that up. I think it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. It says, verse 29, last verse of Ecclesiastes 7. Lo, this only have I found, that God made man upright. Man never did walk on all fours.
No.
Never did.
No.
But they have sought out many inventions. I just want to read that word inventions. Men have invented a lot of things. Thank God for Thomas Edison. And thank God for the guy who invented his cell phone. Lord. You talking about, I can't imagine people living without a cell phone.
Yeah.
I never seen nothing like it. Amen. Bible said there was silence in the heaven for a space of an hour. There were no cell phones up there.
No.
I'm telling you, buddy, 1 hour of silence. Somebody said that's proof no women went to heaven. I ain't going to I ain't got no dog in that. But I'll tell you one thing, there was silence for 1 hour. Amen.
Yeah,
I met men that could out-talk women.
Yeah.
And they say women speak 250,000 words a day or something like that. Said man speak half that. And somebody said the only reason they can't speak more, they can't get a word in edgewise. But anyway, I like to talk as much as anybody. But I don't like to talk about anything but the Lord. There was a time when I liked to talk about things that wasn't worth talking about. Right. But if you're going to talk, let it be about the Lord. Let your conversation be about Him. Amen.
That's right.
Verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters.
Morning, Mary.
And let it divide the waters from the water. Now, we got water up there. It rained last night. Yeah. Donnie said come a flood, and it did.
Yeah, it did.
We got water down on the lake. I seen people in bass boats as I drove across the bridge fishing on the waters down here. But there's a division. He said, let it divide the waters from the waters.
Mm-hmm.
Two-thirds of this earth that God created is water. Two-thirds of me is water. And, we got a lot in common. We was made out of the earth, and we got a lot in common with the earth. But God here talks about a division, dividing the waters from the waters, and the firmament, which were under the firmament, from the waters which were above the firmament, it was so. That's why we get rain. The firmament wants the rain in its season. The Bible says, a rebellious people dwell in a dry land. We don't like dry land. We want the rain when we need it.
Amen.
God sent a 3.5-year drought by a man named Elijah, and they was glad to see the rain come again.
Yes, they were.
Says, God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Verse 7. Verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven.
Yeah.
The evening and the morning were the second day. So in 2 days, God has made the earth. He's made light, darkness divided. He's made water and divided it from above and below. Mm-hmm. You know, when a cloud passes through, I'm not a weatherman. I'm not much of a man anyway. But I'm going to say that those clouds probably have water, moisture, on top of them, and as the wind blows those clouds through, I'm going to say water, falls off the tail of them. That's how the rain comes like. I don't know, it seems like it comes in sheets when it falls.
Yeah.
That may not be true, but anyway, we do have water. It does come down, it waters the earth. Verse 9 says, and God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so.
Yeah.
Now, you got what I'm talking about. Two-thirds of the earth is water, and one-third of it is dry land. Verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called seas, and God saw that it was good. Ain't you glad God made everything right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been out on the ocean. We went 40 miles out. I was fairly young, probably 18. We fished on a boat called the Pink Flamingo. They took us out some kind of reef or something. You could see the bottom. I don't know how deep it was, but it's deep. But you can look down there and you can see the bottom. You can see all the fish. The water was so clear. I mean, you could see it all. And we fished with squid. They were cut in half. You put a squid on your hook, and you let it down there, and if you wanted to catch that fish, you left it. If you didn't want to catch it, you just kind of picked it up a little bit. And when a great big one come by, you just left it. I mean, they all wanted it. And you set the hook. I caught several over 10 pounds, which I thought that's big. My uncle, which was with me, he caught a big amberjack. It was about 40 pounds or something like that. It took him all day long to get his in. I was catching mine pretty quick. But you know, I couldn't believe how clear the waters were. A salt water, it doesn't get the algae in it like our waters does. It's so clear. I could see everything below me. You can see everything. Sharks, man, you can see all these fish swimming around. It looked like it's fishing in a in an aquarium or something. And God called seas, and God saw that it was good. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose fruit was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. I wonder why God made all this grass and all this fruit for. You think he had something in mind?
For mankind.
You think maybe he's thinking this man's going to have something to eat? I mean, I like to eat. Y'all can tell I put on pound or two. I noticed yesterday at the preacher's conference, I went to yesterday, a lot of good preaching. A lot of good preachers there. I noticed I had to unbutton these buttons on this jacket here to sit down, because I done put a little bit here in the middle here. And my wife told me to lay off the ice cream. I said, heck, the ice cream, I need to lay off everything. Yeah. But I've been kind of small all my life, but I reckon I'm getting shorter or fatter or something. But anyway, God's making provision for mankind and also for the animals. He hadn't made the animals yet. Just take, for instance, I mean, man's dumb in a stick anyway. Just take, for instance, man's doing all this. He'd made the animals and the man first. And they're over there dying for hunger because man hadn't made them something to eat, something to drink. You know, God has done this in the right order is what I'm trying to say. So verse 12 talks about grass, herb yielding seed. I mean, I eat a tomato this week. I love fruit. I love herb yielding seed. Let me say this about the herb. See if I can find this verse, Psalms 104. I know it's in 104. I just ain't sure what verse it is, but I probably got it marked. I've had this Bible long enough. I've done a little marking in it. Verse 6. Psalms 104, verse 6. Says, he causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth fruit out of the earth. Herb is not only good to eat, but a lot of medicine is made from herbs. They have these natural places, you know, where you can get herbs. Then instead of going to the doctor, you can go eat you some of this or drink you some of this. But the herb yielding seed after its kind. God's making provision for animals and man to dwell on the earth that he's made. It's already got light. It's already got water. It's already got dry land. Verse 10. And now God needs to make provision so that it can sustain life. Now we got people right now wanting to live on Mars. They can have it. Take you a good deep breath. I ain't got none of that up there.
No.
I got to have something to breathe. I got to have something to eat. I got to have something to drink. And if I didn't have gravity, I'd float away. But I've got just the right amount of gravity. I mean, when I take a curve on my car, it don't just slide off the road. If a tar's or any kind ain't coming to flood, I make it around it. Just the right amount of gravity. God's making all of this in wisdom.
Yeah.
He's making all of this with a plan.
Yeah.
We read that verse there in Isaiah 45:18. He formed the earth to be inhabited, and he put man on it. Verse 14 said, let there be lights in the firmaments of the heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking stars here. And the moon and other planets they call up there. To divide the day from the night. I enjoy the day, but I like to sleep at night. I'm glad the sun don't... in Alaska, I don't know what they do. They got daylight all day long. But I'm glad I live in Kentucky, amen. But it says, to divide the day from the night, let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years.
Mm-hmm.
We was talking earlier this morning about how short our life is. It's but a vapor. that appear for a little while, and then we perish. We fly away, I think it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
But in James there, I think it's James chapter 5, talks about what is your life but a vapor. James chapter 4, it says, verse 14, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. And that's the way life is. We're here today and gone tomorrow, and sometimes we're here today and gone today. But God had this plan that there'd be seasons, that there'd be signs. I think this weekend they're talking about the moon's going to be turned to blood.
Yeah.
And Peter made a reference to that in Acts chapter 2.
Yep.
For that notable day of the Lord, you lost people out there. He talked about that there'd be a I was looking at a different Bible here. Here we go. In verse 19, I will show wonders in heaven above, and sign the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke.
Yep.
The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Here's Donnie's verse right here, verse 21. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I'm glad I called, and I'm glad I'm saved. Amen.
Amen.
But years. God gave Jezebel space to repent and went on to say she repented not. God changed the number of man's years in Genesis chapter 6 to 120. All right. Thomas.
Good morning, Deborah.
Come on in here, buddy. Verse 15. Let them be for lights in the firmaments of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. I have been out coon hunting with my dad at nighttime. Be a full moon, and we didn't even need a flashlight.
No. Yeah.
At nighttime, you could see enough. You didn't even need a flashlight to coon hunt. In verse 16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule in the day, and the lesser light to rule in the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. You see, God had a plan.
Yes.
It wasn't no Big Bang Theory. It didn't just happen. I like what Brother Charles Fishback said in the Bible. He said, I got enough sense to know somebody made this watch.
Yeah. That's right.
And you know what? I hate to say it, but some people ain't got that much sense. Amen? God made all of this. He set it all in order. In verse 17, God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Y'all ever give much thought to the sun? It's on fire.
Yep, it is.
Now, I went to school. I learned a lot of things. To have a fire, you got to have three things. You got to have heat. You got to have oxygen. And you got to have something to burn. You take away any of those three and the fire goes out. There's no oxygen in outer space.
Yep.
And yet the sun is up there.
Yep.
Defying all logic. It's been on fire ever since God created the sun, which has been, I think, somewhere around 6,000 years. I'm not going to argue it or labor it either. I'm just going to take God's word here. You know, God said, let there be light. And that greater light, He said He made it to rule over the day, and the lesser light to rule at night.
Mm-hmm.
And He made also the stars. He didn't just make them. He numbered them.
Yeah.
He knows the names of them. Just to think about that for a minute.
Named them.
And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth.
Right.
And to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the night from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. In 4 days, God has got everything about ready for the not good. Everything He's made has been good. But even with the not good, God never gave up on man. Now the devil said, I wouldn't give you a bent nickel for him.
Yeah.
But God gave everything He had for us.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, buddy, when you think about the price of our redemption, Peter said, for as much as you know, we weren't redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. I'm telling you, buddy, it cost you something to be redeemed. We'll stop right there. Father, we thank you for this Sunday school lesson this morning.
Yes.
Lord, just pray, dear God, you'd help the people that are listening, that are not able to be here due to distance, or Lord, they're going to their own church today. But I pray, Lord, they give the most earnest heed to the truth that we've tried our best, Lord, to share this morning. Bless your word. Bless, Lord, your workers. Bless your churches. We'll thank you and praise you, Lord, to have a little work of God. We ask your blessings on it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right.